Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, concept art released for part of Marvel Land, Christmas planning in August, hotel discounts.
Duke Kaboom makes his debut, mobile ordering expands, we talk Pirates of the Caribbean and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of July 31st, 2019. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We'd like to send a shout out and a big thank you to all of our patrons, including Miguel V., Bo H., and Veronica I., for supporting the show. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. Our patrons get some pretty nice perks like access to our Discord chat, live shows, some DL Weekly swag, and more. Just so you know, all of our lovely cast member levels, be on the lookout. Next month is your next custom pin. So Be on the lookout. We're very excited for this design. But if you'd like to learn more, please head over to dlweekly.net/support.
Well, we're working on some cool episodes in the future. We'd like to have you be part of it. We have a couple questions we'd like to hear answers to. We've already gotten some good call-ins for this, so I'm hoping that more people will. So if you want to help us out, give us a call at area code 657-345-4445 with the answer to the question, what is it about Disneyland that keeps you coming back over and over again? And or what are your tips or strategies for when to go to the parks during the year? I will say there is a 3-minute timer on this, the way the recordings work. So just keep that in mind because we've had two people call in and they get cut off and then they call back to like finish their thoughts. So just remember you got about 3 minutes.
Which that's fine. If you have a lot to say and you want to call and leave multiple messages, that's fine. Just remember to have a 3-minute timer going on next to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the countdown is on. We are less than a month away from our next trip to Disneyland. We are planning a DL Weekly meetup over at the Tongaroa Terrace on Saturday, August 24th at 8 p.m., and we hope to see as many of you as we can there.
Yeah, it's only 23 days from this recording to D23 and 26 to Disneyland, so I'm very excited. Well, if you've taken advantage of the free year of touring plans yet, why not? It's as easy as contacting concierge to book your next Disney vacation. James and Mike would love to provide you with this excellent service along with helping to plan a great Disney vacation at no additional cost to you. You already know you want to go to the parks, so why not contact concierge and get the planning started? Remember, the dining reservations start at the 90-day mark, and they can help you get those as well. So the earlier you get started, the better.
Now, let's get to the news.
Well, concept art released this week shows what could be the new Ant-Man microbrewery and restaurant coming to DCA next year. The concept shows the excellent theming for the new area, with some nice touches like food conveyor belts that make food look like it's growing and shrinking, just like in Ant-Man.
I can't wait to see that. I don't know why. That's as silly as it sounds. That is the most exciting part of this for me. You really liked the design. The design is very cool. It looks humongous.
It does look humongous.
But yeah, I'm just really excited for like how immersive this is going to be. And it sounds like it will be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks really nice. I like the idea of the conveyor belts as well. They had a kind of a thing like this before when they had the adventure through inner space where like you'd see like the Omnimovers go and then it becomes small and then, you know, and it goes on like that. So I think this could be pretty cool. I like use of easy practical effects like that to make it look kind of cool.
Well, the latest designer ears have arrived, and this one is way more affordable than the last pair. The Noah ear hat, as it's called, sports Walt Disney himself, along with Mickey Mouse from Steamboat Willie. On the back is the saying, "It was all started by a mouse." The new stylish ears are $48 and are available at the Disney Dress Shop.
I am very excited about this because we talked about this last week when we didn't know how much they were going to cost. That I
Beautiful.
They are beautiful. I really wanted this pair. Like, this is the first pair of ears that I've been like, oh, I really want this pair.
He's late to the ears game.
I am. But I really like this one. And $48, I think, is actually in my budget for this. So I'm very excited that this wasn't another one of those, like, upwards to about $100 to almost $200.
You know,
this one's going to be way better.
I feel like they could have done that too, because this is going to be a very popular set of years, in my opinion.
It is.
I'm actually a little worried if they will sell out of these, because they are that cool.
They probably will, and that'll make me sad because I really, really, really want one. Well, this week, Disney announced that they will be decking the halls again from November 8th through January 6th. Well, this year, World of Color Season of Light returns, along with Festival of the Holidays, Luigi's Joy to the Whirl, and Mater's Jingle Jamboree over in Cars Land at DCA. Over at Disneyland, the Sleeping Beauty Winter Castle will shine, the Believe in Holiday Magic fireworks will light up the sky, and a Christmas Fantasy Parade will dance down Main Street. It's a Small World, and Haunted Mansion Holidays will also be back.
You know, Disney at Christmas is something I have not experienced 100% on really? My Disney bucket list. Yeah, I've always been there. The only, besides regular, summertime, is, of course, Halloween time, which is by far one of my favorite times to be at the park. But yeah, I haven't experienced Christmas there. We got to experience the leftovers of Christmas last time we were at Walt Disney World.
Of Christmas.
Yeah, because we were there in January and they were in the process of taking all the decorations down. So the big trees were still up in some of the parks, not all the parks. And then some of the land still had garland and stuff. Yeah, so they were just in the process of taking it all down. So which was cool. But so maybe next year.
My biggest concern or question for this year is the Sleeping Beauty Winter Castle. Are they going to put the same stuff on again, which is going to cause the roof to be the new roof?
I hope not.
Or is this a good opportunity for them to do a... Because I know people have complained about the some of the decoration, hanging off of it is not as... not as good as it could be. So I'm wondering if they're going to take this opportunity to come up with some new decorations that'll still give the same effect, but be maybe a little bit better.
Well, and you know that they've got to be protecting this brand spanking new paint job that they've got on the castle. So if the old decorations were perhaps ruining the paint on the castle, I can't imagine that they'd use the same ones without at least fixing whatever the problem was.
Well, we'll find out, I guess.
The Festival of the Holidays is returning this year over at California Adventure. From November 8th through January 6th, you can enjoy some special entertainment, music, and of course, food. There should be a similar amount of booths this year as last year with 12. No menus have been released yet, but be sure to keep listening as we will let you know when they do.
Of course, we always talk about the food. So
we get so excited about the
food.
We
do. Also, this is a good opportunity. On our stream, we just talked about food because we want everybody who's listening, if you've got... must do food things that we should try when we're in the parks in August, let us know, because we're making a list of where and what the item is, and we're going to try to do as much of it as possible. We already have quite a list. I'm sure Teresa will post on social media maybe some of the ideas we have on there already, but send us that that way. You can send it to feedback@dlweekly.net or post on social media to us, because we want to try a bunch of the different foods. So back to the Festival of the Holidays. I did not ever experience this, and you apparently need to make a trip to go for Christmas.
Yes, I do. So I'll be doing the Festival of the Holidays during my Christmas time holiday trip to the parks.
There you go. There you go. I don't know how you're going to get time off for that.
Not this year. It's next year.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, there are a few discounts going on for the Disneyland Resort hotels now through September 26th. At the Grand Californian and Disneyland hotels, you can save 15% on premium rooms and 10% on standard rooms. The discounts apply for stays on select Sunday through Thursday nights only.
This, to me, is very exciting because Walt Disney World is always having different resort promotions, it feels like. And I always feel that the poor Disneyland resorts get a little ignored and you don't ever see discounts on the room. So I was very excited that there are discounts going on. However, I'm also a little sad because it's not a very long period of time. So hopefully if anybody is going soon, they might be able to take advantage of these rates if they've ever had staying at the Disneyland Hotel or the Grand Californian on their Disney bucket list.
Too bad. That we are already booked in a hotel.
We have got so many other things going on for our trip now.
I'm just saying.
We got to keep some of the stuff on the Disney bucket list so we have always burning desires to go back besides just our love of Disneyland.
Well, there's always going to be something that we're burning to go back and see.
Duke Kaboom has made his debut on Pixar Pier, but not the way you might expect. Duke is actually running the motor over at one of the popcorn stands. So he is one of the newest roasty toasties.
Yeah, you know what makes me excited is I actually like these little characters because I like Halloween. They've got like Oogie Boogie and stuff. So Duke Kaboom like seems very appropriate for this for some reason.
Yeah, it does. And it looks really, I think he looks really nice because it looks exactly like the toy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, it's like extra good theming because it's not just some other character that we know and love shrunk down.
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody that's actually the correct size for the job.
Yeah. Well, some fun Toy Story-themed roof decorations have been added in Pixar Pier. Some of the decorations include Bo Peep and Rex. So these are just like little ornaments on top.
Yeah, they kind of, they called them roof toppers. They look really nice, though, because the entrance to Pixar Pier, if you look up in the, I don't know, the metal framework, I guess, of the pier, they have these same types of cutouts, and it's kind of this collage of all these different Pixar characters. I thought it was really, really cool. These are just kind of standalone. It's very obvious who you're looking at, and it looks like a bunch of Rexes marching along the top of a roof, followed by just a line of little Bo Peep. So it's just a nice little touch.
Yeah, yeah. I think they look really neat. This is definitely one of those things that, like, is what Disney's known for, just that little bit of extra. Like, nobody needed this, but right. Like, it's a nice little touch.
I am curious to know if these might be rotating, because I do feel that it's very interesting that we only have Toy Story toppers right now, considering we did just have the new movie come out. So I wonder if maybe the next big movie they have come out for Pixar, if they're going to swap these out.
That'd
be kind of neat.
Yeah.
I could be totally wrong.
That could be interesting.
Well, mobile ordering continues to expand across the resort. Recently, the Mint Julep Bar and the adorable Snowman Frosted Treats were added as options. Unlike last year, you don't have to wait in line for your favorite cool beverage or treat.
Now, remember when the adorable Snowman Frosted Treats first opened and they had that huge line and everybody was trying to get to it?
Yes.
Wouldn't it have been nice to have mobile ordering then?
Yes.
Yeah.
I had to wait in said long line. It was not... I kept like eyeing up the line when we were there during Pixar Fest, and I was just waiting. I didn't even care if it was some weird odd time. I would have gotten my treat at 9 a.m. if it meant I didn't have to stand in the very, very long line. And I did. I ended up getting it at some really weird time. I think it was my breakfast.
At least you remember to eat. Because you always say that you don't remember to eat.
I don't, but I was very determined to try the Pixar Parfait. Well worth it, in my opinion.
Well, the good news about this for us is that I think already when we did our live stream, both of these are on the list of things we have to get from there. So I feel like mobile ordering is going to be a thing that I'm really going to enjoy when I'm there. In fact, I feel like I'm always going to look at mobile ordering before I go somewhere.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah. Well, it seems like we're just talking about the opening of Ramon's Serve Ice Station in Cars Land opening. Apparently, cast members continue to have issues with the machines breaking and overheating, so the location has been closed until further notice.
This is just interesting to me because I don't know. I wonder what the deal is here, because obviously they had the same type of icy slushy machines at other places in the resort. So I wonder what specifically is going on there. It does make me sad because I thought this was actually a really nice location and a great addition to the land, and just a great use of unused space over in Cars Land.
And with the heat, you would think they'd sell a lot of these because a lot of the queue for Radiator Springs Racers is right there. So it'd be a quick, like, oh, let me grab this before I get in the queue. Yep, like, it's a no-brainer.
I can sip on it and stay cool while waiting.
Well, hopefully they'll figure it out.
I hope so. In what is probably related to the staffing cuts at the resort, the Lion King stage show in DCA has cut the dancers from the show. This leaves the singers alone to tell the tale of the Lion King in a less spectacular way. Hopefully, when the annual passes open up later this month, the staffing will be increased again, and there will be dancers to tell the tale as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of threw that into the script at the end because I'm just, with staffing things, I feel like they could bring stuff back if things got busier. I'm kind of sad because I kind of wanted to see this stage show with the singing and the dancing. Like, I love the music, so I'm glad they didn't cut like the singers and do like a track, but I don't know. I remember seeing the Lion King show in Animal Kingdom and I really liked it, and I thought this would be kind of a, you know, a version of that, and I really am sad that they're not going to have the dancers there. But I think it'll still be a good show because the music is great.
This, you know, the thing that was really interesting for this show is when they first started it, it was huge.
Yeah.
There was a very what seemed to be a very large cast and so many different showings of it daily, which was just kind of crazy. They kind of like went into this full force and then slowly they've been scaling it back. I almost wish that they would, I don't know.
Start smaller and work their way up?
Yeah, either start smaller, work their way up, or instead of cutting dancers completely, maybe only offer it once or twice a day.
Oh, yeah.
With dancers, because I'm sure those cast members probably aren't just not coming to work now. I'm sure they're working in different areas of the resort.
Hopefully.
And yeah. And the other thing, too, is I guess I haven't really heard what the crowd and what the attendance has been
right.
for this show. That also might be a factor.
Yeah. Well, the crowds have been low and it's been hot this summer. So I think that, you know, and it wasn't in a covered area. I think they just had this kind of in the open. So I don't know.
It's in the World of Color viewing area.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this last week, but the reservation period for the experiences in Galaxy's Edge has officially been extended to 14 days in advance. There are plans to expand this window even more as time goes on. So keep an eye on it if you want to build a lightsaber or take a seat at Oga's Cantina.
We are definitely going to be taking advantage of these reservations, because I know Tag is looking forward to building his lightsaber. And of course, we have to check out the cantina.
The question is, if the reservation opens, how many people are going to go? Because it's you and one person who's not building a lightsaber can go with you. So we have to figure out in our group who's going to build a lightsaber and how many of us are going to go in and who's going to go in.
I think you are the only lightsaber builder in our group.
Well, then, okay.
Can you please keep that in the podcast? Okay.
James is getting the mic out.
That is like the saddest thing I've ever heard.
What, he's the only lightsaber builder?
No,
his
response to it was just...
I didn't say you had to go in there by yourself.
I'm glad that they're expanding the reservation window. And
yeah, because it was just same-day reservations.
Yep,
so it is nice that you can plan ahead a little bit longer, a little bit more than just a day. The other thing that we will mention, too, is even if you're planning, you're only going to be in the park one day and you want to build a lightsaber like Tag, and you look 14 days out and the day you're going to be there is booked up, have no fear.
They do
open more reservations
Day of.
And that goes the same for the definitely for the cantina. I'm pretty sure it's that way for the lightsaber building,
I think so, too.
Well, if you missed out on the wonderful AP mug that we were all so excited about that sold out in what felt like a blink of an eye.
Yes.
Be sure to check out the Disneyland Starbucks ceramic tumbler. I got excited when I saw this online. The tumbler has been spotted for sale over at the Emporium on Main Street for $24.99. It is like, it's like the classic Disneyland tumbler. It's got all different pieces of the park depicted on the outside of it. It looks very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, this tumbler they had apparently last year, at least in the link that I was looking at.
Yep, they had it before, but it's back.
Gotcha. I know that there was a bunch of people in our chat who were very sad about the annual pass holder mug, because a lot of people had tried to go get it, and they were not able to because it was out.
Yep, they've sold out.
And so I'm very sad for them. Well, Disney Plus is going to be coming to the D23 Expo this year, and attendees will be the first to experience the new streaming service. There will also be multiple panels, pavilions, and floor show experiences for guests to enjoy. So there is quite a bit coming.
There is a lot coming. So not only is it Disney Plus, it's also ESPN Plus and Hulu that will be at the expo.
Some of the Hulu stuff sounds cool. They're gonna have like things from the shows.
Yeah. So we'll start with Disney Plus. So there's the First Look Showcase, which is gonna happen on Friday, the 23rd at 3:30 over in Hall D23. This is kind of like the exclusive preview of Disney Plus. There's also going to be, I love this. This just kind of drives me a little nutty. High School Musical, the musical, the series.
I hate that name.
Sneak peek. And sneak peek screening and panel, which is also on Friday, the 23rd at 5:30. That's over in the arena. And then they also have the Disney Plus Pavilion. This sounds very cool to me because this is offering guests demonstrations of the Disney Plus app.
Oh, nice.
So you can actually look through the collection of what is going to be available for Disney Plus. So you actually kind of like get your hands on it. You get to dig into it, too. The other thing that's very exciting to me, because I'd already kind of thought I probably would be signing up for the service. Well, there's going to be a special offer available exclusively to the Expo attendees and D23 members to sign up and subscribe for the service. So I'm very excited about
that.
That
is exciting. I'm hoping that they'll give you like a discount or maybe a couple extra months free or something like that. So
hopefully
are we going to go see this thing?
I'm not going to go see High School. I don't think I'm going to see High School
Musical. I mean, I liked the High School Musical, the movies, but like...
If that's your thing, there is going to be a special advanced screening of the first episode and a panel with the new cast and crew. So that's pretty exciting if this is your thing.
Well, the Disney Plus Pavilion, the other cool thing about it too, is that they're going to have costumes and stuff from Disney Plus originals. So things like The Mandalorian, if you're a Star Wars fan like me.
You might be able to see some of the costumes.
Yeah, I'm excited. And then what's at the Hulu Pavilion?
The Hulu Pavilion has all sorts of costumes and artifacts, which I'm very excited for. The famous red robe that is worn in The Handmaid's Tale.
Do you watch that show?
I have. Yes, I have. A couple other things that are from, you know, a couple other things that they'll have on display there from some of their other very popular shows, which is cool. The work on the pedestrian bridge from the new Pixar Pals parking structure has been getting closer and closer to completion. The bridge is scheduled to open in September. Along with the bridge, there is also a walking path at the street level.
Well, you know me.
I just got really excited because I realized I can walk across this bridge.
Why are you excited? You don't care about the parking garage.
This isn't the parking garage. This is the pedestrian bridge.
I think that's even really sadder than the parking garage.
I'm going to send you a video of me walking across the pedestrian bridge.
James, I'm going to have to hide in Teresa's bag somehow.
I believe that.
If you've been at the resort recently and noticed the lighting along the parade route was a little dim, you would be right. The lighting is being upgraded to LED lights that should be much more energy efficient and brighter than the old lights. It will take time as they progress through the park, I think this is a great thing. Honestly, I kind of miss back in the day when they didn't have these giant lighting rigs.
Yeah.
Because I kind of liked it where it was just the natural light of, like, Main Street. And I know that, like, after the parade, after the fireworks, they usually, like, leave them on a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It does give it a whimsical look, but I kind of miss just the darkness of it all.
Well, and I'm sure it's a safety thing, too. They don't want people accidentally falling off the curbs or... So you're not falling in the tracks for the horse-drawn streetcar, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I get it, but I'm with you. It did look very nice when it was just the natural lighting from the shops and whatever on Main Street.
Well, now we take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer James tries to stump us with some Disney trivia. He'll read us the question, we'll attempt to answer it, and then James will give us the correct answers at the end of the show. What do you have for us this week, James?
I have 5 listener questions this week.
Yay! Wait, we usually do 4. What's with this?
Well, we got a
bonus round.
We got a bonus that's not really parks related, but I think it's a really great educational opportunity.
Oh boy!
So I couldn't let it sit there.
You know, when producer James is excited about something, that it's got to be something terrible for us.
It's gonna be a stumper.
Amazingly nerdy is the words I'm looking
for. Amazingly nerdy. All right.
My interest is piqued.
All right, well, we'll get there soon enough. Our first one comes from Ryan H., and you may have remembered a couple episodes ago we asked for the highest and lowest ride capacity in Disneyland Resort.
Mm-hmm.
So this week we're asking, what's the highest and lowest ride capacity in California Adventure? And the best part is, I know you looked this up, so we'll see how much you remember.
We did?
Did we? I think the highest capacity is probably... Little Mermaid, because it's an Omnimover,
mm-hmm.
right?
I'm thinking.
Because I don't think Soarin' definitely isn't. I mean, Grizzly River Run seems to pop to a bunch of people. But I think Little Mermaid does more. So I'm going to say Little Mermaid.
I'm going to agree with that. And is it current or extinct?
Current, please.
And then what was the other one? So the highest and lowest?
Highest and lowest.
And the lowest is going to be...
Is the Emotional Whirlwind? I'm going to say it's Luigi's.
Luigi's?
All right. Question number 2 comes from Elizabeth K. Sleeping Beauty Castle features a spire that looks just a bit out of place. Because this spire is a replica of a spire from what famous building?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Wow. No hesitation there.
That's because we talked about that on our...
Yeah, we
Sleeping Beauty Castle thing, because we said
it looked
like that. I don't
remember if we talked about that on the podcast, but I know for sure we talked about it just between the two of us because of the fire with Notre Dame.
Yep.
All right. Question number 3 comes from Liz J. What is something the same about all of the Disney castles?
They all have turrets? Is that kind of what you're going
to say? Let's get a little more specific.
Do Do they all have like a drawbridge? How specific? Like a drawbridge?
They don't all have a drawbridge.
I'm
though.
Looking for a specific feature.
All the Disney castles. Yeah, you're right. There's not a moat.
Do they all have a
stained glass window? That's my guess.
I don't know. I want to say like the family crest or something on them. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I said turret and you're guess. Like, you have to be like more specific. So I feel like each of them, does each of them have like a weather vane on one of the turrets? There,
that can be your.
I'm going to do weather vane.
I would have accepted family crest as well as specific enough if you wanted to go with that. All right, moving on then. Question number 4 is from Dylan H. Not musical this week, but how well do you pay attention in New Orleans Square?
Oh, boy.
There's so much.
As you exit the tunnel onto the railroad into New Orleans Square Station, there's a hotel on your left. What is the name of the hotel?
Oh, geez.
If you need a hint, I can come up with
it
for you. It is very well themed and named for the area. And if you think of New Orleans, this word and or phrase should come to mind.
Mardi Gras.
So is it the Mardi Gras Hotel?
Mardi Gras Hotel. Or inn. Or bed and breakfast.
I'm going to say, I want to say like Royal Street something. I don't know.
All right. And our bonus question this week from listener Scylla H. Aladdin and Jasmine appear in the Middle East section of It's a Small World, but if the ride was true to the original story about Aladdin, what country should the dolls actually be in?
That's a good question.
Isn't it?
That is a really good question.
Taught me something this
week. Was it not Middle Eastern? Like, are they? Is it a Middle Eastern country that like is specific? Or like, I guess, what is she going for?
I am looking for which country Aladdin and Jasmine would actually be from.
Maybe, is it India?
You're looking at me like I'm going to give you an answer.
I'm going to say India, but I don't think that's right.
I really have no idea, so I'm just going to throw a pitch out to Timbuktu, and I'm just going to say England. I don't think that's right, but that's what I'm going to say.
It's a bold choice. Did the 1001 Nights take you to England? Who knows? We'll find out after the discussion topic this week.
All right. So this week, our discussion topic is taking us down the waterfall and into the Pirates of the Caribbean. So I know this is one of probably almost everybody's favorite attractions. So
a classic for sure.
Definitely a classic. Of course, it was the last attraction that Walt Disney personally worked on.
Yep, one of the last because he also was working on the Haunted Mansion.
Yes, yes. But I think that everybody pretty much agrees that this is the one that everybody like attributes to being his last, because it was almost complete, where the one that he was working with, the Haunted Mansion, was not quite as far along. Yes?
I'm still classifying it as one of the last.
It is one of the last. Okay.
Because unfortunately, he did not get to see either of these open. I do have a really fun fact, though, about... You know what? I'm just going to tell you now. So, fun fact about this is it's rumored that, yes, Walt did not actually get to enjoy Pirates of the Caribbean as we know it today. He did not get to go through it in the boat like we get to experience it now, but in one of the final stages, like in one of the stages of them completing it, he did wish I could have seen this. He did have a team of Imagineers take him through and try and recreate as if he were on a boat. So he apparently, rumor has it, was on a chair that they were pushing and pulling slowly through the attraction to try and mimic what it would feel like on a boat. That is something I read today. Take it with a grain of salt, but yeah. I think it's hilarious if it's true.
One of the things that I remember, now you're talking about going through the attraction, one of the things that I remember is I remember watching the 10th anniversary special, and they had all the mock-ups for the attraction. And he showed the ambassador that they have this mock-up where basically you look through and there was these little rings set, and that's how you would see it from the boat. Mm-hmm. And so, like, where the water is now was, like, a walkway that you could walk through and kind of experience it. And it was at eye height, so you could, like, walk through and see what it was going to be like to be in the boat before it was even built, which I think is kind of cool. I think that the modeling department at Disney does a great job, because even till now, I mean, we've seen some of this at the Blue Sky Cellar for Pixar Pier stuff, and, of course, for Galaxy's Edge. Toy Story Land over in Disney World. And so, like, they do all this great work to, like, make something small to see how it all works and how it all lays out. So they do a wonderful job. So what do we know about the Pirates of the Caribbean?
Well, so we're gonna
other than Walt Disney going through it on a chair, pulled through, possibly.
So the attraction officially opened on March 18th, 1967, which was, to me, a very unique opening for an attraction.
Yeah.
Because according to the D23 article that I read, they actually had a band of swashbuckling pirates that disembarked the Columbia and, like, broke down the locked, not really, but, you know, busted through the locked doors, and that's how they kind of christened, I guess you could say, christened this attraction. So that's how they got, I thought that was a clever way of kind of, instead of like a traditional ribbon cutting,
yeah,
they jazzed it up a bit with,
you know, I don't think I knew that. That's pretty cool. That's really neat that they did something like that. I mean, for something like Pirates of the Caribbean, I think it's a fitting opening for that.
Something that I think is also very interesting is that the Blue Bayou, the restaurant, was actually supposed to be kind of like an interactive restaurant. There was supposed to be pirates that were in the restaurant that would kind of like banter with you and just kind of like interact with you while you were eating. And they did do kind of a dry run of this with Walt sitting at one of the tables, and he actually scrapped the idea.
Was it in the same seat they pulled him through
on? It may have been, yeah. He actually scrapped the idea because he decided that he wanted the food to be the star of the restaurant and not to have all these other distractions.
Oh.
Which I can't imagine being at the Blue Bayou and having random pirates come up and, I don't know, steal my potatoes or something.
Your potatoes.
Yeah, it'd be a very different experience. But the Blue Bayou restaurant was actually completed well before the attraction was. Hmm. But they wanted, Walt actually, I think, wanted both of them to open at the same time. So it kind of sat there patiently waiting until the attraction was completed. As many of you probably already know, Pirates was actually supposed to be a walk-through wax museum originally. And then
like the Haunted Mansion.
Yep. Once they found out how popular the boats were from the It's a Small World attraction, they decided to utilize that thought process instead. So they were very popular. Guests thought it was fun, but then also ride capacity, right? You can get a lot more people through in the boats than you could having them just walk through.
I will say one thing that was interesting that Teresa showed me that I'd never seen before, and we'll link it in our show notes.
Oh, it's super cool.
D23 posted they found this footage, which I think is amazing. They found this footage while they were looking for unseen footage for the 50th anniversary of Disneyland, and they found this that was taken. It was the first ride through captured way back on December 2nd, 1966, and it was never shown to the public until a D23 Fanniversary event in 2012. And so this video is pretty awesome because you could see how much has and hasn't changed on this attraction since then. One of the things that I noticed that was amazing to me was when you get to the burning village at the end, that fire looked real to me, like more real than the fire. I mean, the fire looks really real now, but in this video, it looked like, oh, crap, it's on fire. So,
well, and
good
as
on
you
them.
Know, that was actually a problem, and they kind of corrected it because the fire did look too realistic that the it actually caused panic and people really believed that it was on fire. And so they did have to kind of scale it back a bit, not make it as realistic. So the Anaheim Fire Department did insist that Disney have an automatic shutoff for the attraction in case there was a real fire that had ever
occurred. Can you imagine? You think they've done such a great job that there's fire everywhere?
And I believe that they did have a fire down there. Nobody knew that it was real because they were so used to the fake realistic fire that they didn't think the actual fire was real. Sometimes you get your Disney goggles on. You get a little confused as to what's real and what's not.
Sure.
My favorite story of that, this is like way not on topic.
Sure.
My favorite story of that was we were waiting way back when Radiator Springs Racers was brand new. And sure. So they had the world's longest lines every morning to go get your fast pass.
Mm-hmm.
We were waiting in the very long line. We were like backed up all the way to the Carthay Circle. And you know how they have like those planters and
yeah.
like those bushes, and they're not bushes, but you know, flower beds
yeah.
and whatever around there. There was a hummingbird that actually flew into one of the flowers and was
sure.
doing its hummingbird thing. And the woman in front of us questioned if the hummingbird was real. She fully believed it was a Disney animatronic. And we kind of, it was a very awkward, no, that's real. that's actually a hummingbird. Not everything in Disneyland is put there for our imaginations to go wild with. There is real wildlife. But yeah,
yeah.
So I thought that was really, really, it's like, talk about your Disney goggles,
yeah.
right?
Well, Disney's known for doing so well.
Exactly.
It could be, I suppose. So one thing that I thought was interesting in looking into some facts about the attraction. So it takes 3 days to empty and refill the bayou for renovations. There's over 630,000 gallons of water in the attraction. Obviously, the attraction's been around for over 50 years at this point. And so there actually wasn't any changes really made to the attraction until the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
When park guests, this was the first time when people started having, political correctness is ruining Disney kind of an attitude.
Well, and I don't know if it was necessarily political correctness, but also just questioning how family friendly
sure.
this portion was. But the first change was actually about the lewd behavior of the pirates towards the different village women.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this because they used
yep.
to have pirates that were chasing women throughout the town.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one sneaky pirate who was leering, searching for a woman who was hiding in terror from him. Basically, they were, you know, kind of preying on these women, which historically accurate, yes.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of guests did question how appropriate it was, being that it was family friendly. So again, this is just because it's especially pirates chasing
sure.
women, and then the woman being scared and hiding, and he's still going after
sure.
her. I can understand yeah. where the questioning was.
Yeah.
There. So the first thing that happened was they actually reversed this. And so this is what you're thinking of now. So now the women, the animatronics that are still there, they've been reversed. The women are now chasing the pirates. There's one pirate that looks like he stole a pie, and so the woman is chasing him with a rolling pin,
mm-hmm.
trying to get her pie back. I believe there might still be a pirate chasing a woman, but she's got food, so it's
yep.
making it appear that he's chasing the food, not mm-hmm. the person. So they did spin it a little bit. Of course, there was both sides, like the most recent change, both sides that said this was a good change, other people that said it was unnecessary. So, but they just felt that it was a little bit more fitting than having handsy pirates.
Sure, sure. So the next big renovation and change was in 2006, right after the release of the Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl movie. So because it was based on the attraction, they wanted to kind of, they based the movie off the attraction, but now they kind of wanted to put some of the movie characters into the attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So they added Jack Sparrow, of course, he's in the scene
Captain.
With the mayor being dumped at the
yes.
at the front. He's hiding and trying to look at a map in the middle of the thing. And then at the end, he's in a throne room. And then, of course, they added Davy Jones, which was on that waterfall
mm-hmm.
thing. And then, of course, they put Captain Barbossa on the pirate ship,
yes.
replacing the previous captain when you first kind of enter the, like, battle when you're kind of entering the town. And so now kind of, you know, Pirates has grown from, the movies have grown beyond that. They're now in Fantasmic. They're now, Jack Sparrow wandering around.
Mm-hmm.
Red's around now, so you mm-hmm. kind of even added some of that.
And then the most recent change, this, I feel this one was a bit more controversial than the
sure.
other two changes, was the change to, of course, the auction scene.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this was a kind of a scene that showed women lined up for auction underneath a banner that read "Auction, take a wench for a bride." And then, of course, we all knew the redhead, who is this just beautiful.
We wants the redhead,
yeah, beautiful, voluptuous woman who was, I guess, the one that they were auctioning off at that point.
Sure.
So. Again, they were trying to be a little bit more family friendly and kind of keep up with the times a little bit. It was a controversial scene.
Yep.
So they did, of course, have to keep the redhead because she was so popular, but they just kind of gave her a different spin. So she's
a pirate now.
Yep, she's a pirate. She's Pirate Red. But I think it's kind of cool that, you know, she kind of went to, like, the... I don't know how I want
to
say
from, like,
this.
The helpless, like, yeah, for sale to, like, I'm a strong, like, pirate.
Yeah, yeah. She's very, like, dominant. Which, again, if we're going to talk about history, there mm-hmm. were tons of... There were women pirates throughout history. So yeah. I do understand that people are upset that we are no longer offering you brides to buy. And there were some really good lines that the auctioneer said. I do think they did a nice little spin on his. So it feels very similar.
Yeah.
But again, different. I do think it's cool that little girls now have this. And she looks like a great animatronic. I can't mm-hmm. wait to see her in person.
Me either.
But they kind of have, you know, somebody that they can look up to in the attraction instead of perhaps, I don't know, the pirate that's sitting with the pigs or, you know, whatever. She looks like a very strong character.
So obviously there are a ton of animatronics in this attraction. So there are over 120 audio animatronics. This includes the human pirates and the people of the town, but also animals, because you've got the dog, of course, mm-hmm. that's really well known. The pigs, chickens now.
Yep, chickens. Yep,
because they want to buy chickens and stuff like that. So pretty good. Of course, there's the rumor that's been going around for a long time that the human bones being part of it, it's never actually been like confirmed, right? It has been confirmed. Mm-hmm. By
it's
who?
I
know we talked about it.
Way back when we started this, we were talking about how it was a rumor and I was going to look it up. And I saw granted, yes, it's the internet. I did see from several sources that, yes, the only true human skull that's still in there is in the captain's bedroom.
Scene, okay.
The one that's above the bed.
Yep.
And it was, I can't remember...
It was, like, donated for, like, medical stuff, right? Or something, and that's how somehow they got it?
Yeah, it was some university. I don't remember what the whole thing was.
Sure. Okay, well, we don't have to talk about it. The other cool thing about the renovation that they did adding the movie people into the attraction was that all of the people that were brought in from the film are actually voiced by their actual voice actors. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. Also, Teresa, you'll like this one, that some of the audio animatronics are voiced by Paul Frees, which you might recognize as being the ghost host at the Haunted Mansion.
We love him.
He does have a great voice.
But yeah, so I don't know. There's been changes. We never like change because we always like the original. Mm-hmm. I guess, oddly enough, the two changes that happened with the women, I'm not so bothered by. You know, I do like that. I do like the original. I didn't find it to me personally that it needed to be done. Sure. But I don't hate what they did. I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. I'm actually, for me, I'm a little bit more, I don't know if I'm going to say one change that bothered me the most was actually adding the like the Johnny Depp character as the Captain Barbossa.
Sure.
I don't know why, but that bothered me a little bit. I was really excited the first couple of times that I saw them. Mm. But now the more that I see them, the more they don't look quite like the characters to me anymore.
Sure.
So I wish they would get updated and mm-hmm. look a little bit more like the characters. They're just looking a little, I don't know.
I will say the Jack Sparrow at the end looks pretty good, though. Like, he's pretty fluid in the throne room.
Yeah.
But I do miss the old pirate captain when you first come in, rather than Barbossa. Although they did just revert the whole, the fake, like, waterfall thing away.
Jones
so they took that
no
out.
Longer
and
part
that part of the caverns I always thought was cool, that it was kind of like echoey and like mm-hmm. you're kind of transforming or transporting yourself back to kind of, it was more of a story, I guess.
Yes, yep. I know I've talked about this on the podcast before, but the last time that we were there was actually during when they were transforming the auction scene. And so unfortunately we were not able to ride the attraction, but we did have Fantasmic dining packages and we did eat at the Blue Bayou. That was possibly one of the coolest experiences, eating at the Blue Bayou. They did still have water. Mm. Eating at the Blue Bayou when the attraction was not going.
Hmm.
It was just so calm and so peaceful.
It's like you were at the bayou.
Yep, because you didn't have, and they still had the bayou noises going on. They had little fireflies.
I love the firefly effects.
Yes, me too. But it was a little creepy because the animatronic man, the banjo playing guy, was still rocking in his rocking chair, but there was no lights on him and there was no banjo music. So that was a little eerie for me. But just, you didn't have any of the water sloshing. Yes, the ride vehicles do go They're pretty far away from where the edge of the Blue Bayou dining area is.
Sure.
But it's still added noise, and it's kind of, you know, it's also movement, so it's obvious. I did see a cast member walking through what looked like he was walking through the bayou, but apparently way on the far edge there must be some sort of little service.
I've seen hallway cast members over there walking over there too.
So that was
just see like their top of their body.
Yeah, so that was a little, I kind of had to like do a double take on that one. That was a little interesting, but that was a very cool experience to be in there when it wasn't actually operating.
One of the things I love about this whole attraction in general is especially in the Blue Bayou section, is you really have to look really hard to see that there's actually a roof there. Like, it seems like you're outside.
Yeah.
They've done a really good job making it so it's so dim in there that you can't tell and you feel like you're outside. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, you were just talking about sitting in the Blue Bayou, and I got really excited for our dining package there because I just imagined being there, because I do like there, and I could, in my mind, I could hear like the clanging of like the plates and stuff that is the noise there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And the smell. Because the Pirates of the Caribbean does have a very specific, distinct smell that is a big deal.
So I feel like we had to have, we covered a lot, but I feel like there are things that we missed. So if anybody is a big Pirates fan and there's some very awesome, cool fact that maybe we missed, please shoot us a message either at feedback@dlweekly.net or give us a shout out on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And let us know any cool facts that you know about Pirates of the Caribbean or any fun stories and memories that you have of the attraction.
I'm just going to throw this out there that our supporter, Richard, is deathly afraid of this attraction. So one of the goals when we're there is to get Richard on this attraction. So Richard, we are coming for you and we will go on this.
If anybody else will be at the parks when we are there,
we could fill
August,
up a whole boat.
We could have a weekly tier boat. How much fun would that be?
That would be really fun. And if you see us in the parks, we are going to have official weekly tier buttons. So if you see us, approach us.
Yes,
we'll give you a button.
Come say hi. We are very excited to meet as many weekly tiers as we can. Mm-hmm. So maybe if you aren't able to go to the meetup, that's fine. We're going to be in the parks the following Monday, the 26th through that Friday.
Yep.
Every day we will be
there. Why do you say this every day like it's a bad thing?
It's just
like it's a slog.
No. I don't know. I wasn't meaning to be bad.
Gotcha.
But we're going to be there. We're going to try to be there as close to park opening and as late as park closing as we can. So it might be a very long week for us, but well worth it.
I also want to throw this out there that Teresa has finally posted some DL Weekly Disneyland themed soap on Etsy. And we will link the shop in the show notes. And I also will put it at dlweekly.net/soap. And that'll take you to her Etsy shop. And you can buy Tiki Whip, which is like a Dole Whip soap, or a Happy Haunts, which smells like the Haunted Mansion, or a California Soarin', or my favorite, Choo Choo, that looks like a watermelon, and it smells like Heimlich's Choo Choo Train. I'm just saying, I gotta get me one of these, Teresa, just to have here while we record, and I can sniff it. I'm glad I can bring so much joy to your life.
Just be glad
you're not producer James, supposed to live with this.
That's true. The other thing that I'd like to mention, too, before we wrap up and head back over to Trivia Land, is if anybody has been on the fence about becoming a patron, now is like the perfect time to do so.
Yes.
We are planning on doing all sorts of updates and videos, that sort of thing, while we're at D23 and while we're at the expo. Our patrons are going to be getting all sorts of bonus content because we will be there and be able to do extra stuff. We will also be putting some of that stuff on social media too.
Yep.
But if you want to see everything and anything that we're doing and posting, becoming a patron is the best way to do that.
So patron, you won't miss out on anything.
Yep. So if you're interested in doing that, you can become a patron for as little as a dollar. Head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Awesome. Well, if you're going to be in the park soon and want to be wearing some DL Weekly swag, other than maybe a pin if you see us there, head on over to dlweekly.net/store to pick some up. Well, now it's time to return to Trivia Land and James over there to get the answers from this week's trivia, which I don't feel very optimistic about for me.
I'm a little worried because I decided on changing my last answer late.
England? What were you changing it to that was not England?
Egypt.
Oh, you want
to
do Egypt?
I don't know if I'm allowed to change it because it was very late that I had this
I haven't given an answer. We'll let it go.
We'll let it go.
Okay.
So before
Scrap England, we're going with Egypt.
Before we start, I'd like to say thank you to Ryan H., Elizabeth K., Liz J., Dylan H., and Scylla H. for sending in the questions this
and
week.
They were not easy on us this week. These were some head scratchers. So great trivia questions, you guys.
Yes.
Yeah, they definitely did good this week.
All right.
Well, let's see how you did. So our first one was from Ryan H., which was, he asked, which rides have the highest and lowest guest per hour capacities at California Adventure?
So we both agreed on Little Mermaid for the highest, and I said Tomater for the lowest.
And I said Luigi.
So you're wrong, according to Ryan. The highest is the Incredicoaster, which can take in 2,100 guests per hour. And the lowest is Jumpin' Jellyfish.
Oh,
goodness sakes. You know I forgot about all of the Paradise Garden Grove, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that corner. Oh, dang.
I think that, and James was right. He was trying to give us the hint that we had actually looked this up when we had the previous question.
And
we knew Jumpin' Jellyfish, but we had forgotten.
Dang.
So 0 points.
Good question, Ryan.
Yeah, Jumpin' Jellyfish. It's kind of sad. It only takes 210 guests per hour.
Well, it's only like a dozen people per go or something.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to ride it with me?
Yeah, I haven't ridden that one. That's on my
I love riding that one. The Jumpin' Jellyfish?
Yeah. It was not working.
I love how you said it's on your must-do, like it's like pirates are haunted or something.
No. So there are attractions. Tomater is one of them that I have never experienced, and they're mostly kind of attractions geared towards small children.
In the 5 days we're there, we're going to hit everything.
Oh, for sure.
My idea is I'm going to have the park map, like a physical, and I'm going to mark them off.
That's what he always does. We were there for 4 days last time, we still didn't get through all of them, so I'm not so...
You haven't been with me.
I did get a lot taken care of or crossed off my never have I been on this attraction.
Oh, okay.
When we were there, because I'd never done Goofy Sky School. That was the first time I'd done that.
Is there anything that Vern won't go on, or is he fine to go on?
No, he's fine.
Perfect. All right, next.
Next question was from Elizabeth K., who asked, Sleeping Beauty Castle features a spire that looks just a bit out of place. This spire is a replica of a spire from what famous building?
It's not there anymore, but Notre Dame.
Yes, you both got that one right. Notre Dame. It's not at Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. It burnt down and like collapsed.
Question number three came from Liz J. A little vague. What is something the same about all the Disney castles?
This is a good question.
For a feature that was similar across all of them.
And I said they all have a weather vane.
And I said stained glass windows. I think Teg's going to kick himself because I'm wondering if it was the crest.
It was the crest.
Oh!
They all have the Disney family crest.
Dang it. All right. Good job, Liz J.
You were so close.
I love that you talked yourself out of that.
I even tried to talk you into it.
Oh, well.
I noticed that because when there was this long pause that James was waiting, he's like, okay, next question.
I was like, Disney Family Crest, that is definitely more specific than a turret, but whatever. Question number four from Dylan H. As soon as you exit the tunnel on the railroad into New Orleans Square Station, there's a hotel on your left. What is the name of the hotel?
And I said like the Royal Street something.
And I said it Mardi Gras Inn or Hotel or...
Yeah, my hint was definitely pushing in the right direction, but you didn't quite get there. It's the Creole Hotel.
Ooh. I'm going to have to pay attention to that because I think I get too excited and look...
The story of Teresa's life. Yeah, I get too excited.
I think I get too excited and I don't look left. I look towards like in...
You look right.
Yeah, I look right into the park.
Yeah.
I'm going to specifically look left now.
Yeah, there is going to be so much for you to see because you're going to have to make like probably 6 trips around the park on the train to make sure you take it all in. So, and your bonus question this week from Scylla H. Aladdin and Jasmine appear in the Middle East section of It's a Small World, but if the ride was true to the original Aladdin story, what country would the dolls be in?
I said India.
I originally said England, but the boys were nice and said I could change my answer. I'm going to go with Egypt. Final answer.
Yeah, that was nice because either way you were wrong.
It was better than England, at least. Maybe not England.
Yeah, and in the earliest version of the story, we have Aladdin is a poor young youth living on the streets of China.
China.
Yes.
Oh, you know, that's tickling something. I may have known that.
Yeah, his personality is a little different, and he's not actually an orphan. So it's an interesting take on the story,
dang,
which is based on Arabian Nights or 1001 Nights.
Huh.
Interesting.
Huh.
So, fun story. So if you've got some more good knowledge to drop like everyone did this week and you want to stump Tegan and Teresa, send
like
me
did this week.
It's not that hard.
Send me an email because I'm loving learning all of this stuff. You can connect with me. It's trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.